The New York City Parks Department's website crashed earlier this week after it was overwhelmed by New Yorkers trying to register for the free swimming classes it's offering. Why are so many people interested in swimming? Well, Lynn Scheer explains why she loves to spend time in the water and looks at how the sport of swimming has changed throughout history in her latest book, which is called Swim. It's published by Public Affairs, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Lynn Scheer back to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. So good to be with you again.
Now, swimming is the country's third most popular sport. Do you know if it's been that popular for a long time,
or it used to be It used to be a lot more popular, probably before there were polls and surveys to indicate it. But you know, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, swimming was huge in this country. Remember, we would pay money to go to movies to see people swim. People don't do that anymore.
Esther Williams was a huge star.
Johnny Weissmuller.
So do you know what the number one and number two sports are?
Well, running is certainly more popular than swimming. And weightlifting and all that sort of thing.
Well, are we talking about serious swimmers like you or about people who just jump in and paddle around to cool off a bit?
It's a combination of things. And in my mind, anybody who enjoys being in the water and goes in for more than just to cool off after a hot run is a swimmer. I mean, if you take to the water, if you actually like being in it, and particularly if you swim laps from time to time, that's being a swimmer.
Well, you've painted such an attractive picture of swimming that it's left me thinking about spending less time in the gym and more in the pool.
Excellent.
The health benefits of swimming are widely known, but didn't a recent study show that swimming is better for your heart than walking or jogging?
Indeed, and swimming uses every major muscle group in the body. Swimming is really good for your cardiovascular system, for your pulmonary system, and, you know, the skin is our largest organ, so when you're in the water, every part of it is touched, and isn't that exciting?
And I've heard also it helps memory.
I think it does wonderful things for your mind. I think, you know,
as people age.
Indeed. When I swim, Leonard, I write my best leads. I come up with wonderful solutions to problems. I'm very creative in the water.
Oh, I usually do that in the shower, which I guess is the water as well. Are you worried that your book might result in New York swimming pools getting even more crowded?
I hope it does, because I hope that is the result, because then maybe we'll build more pools. We need more.
Because there are pools out there, but they're for people who have money. You can join a gym that has a pool or whatever. But what about public pools?
There are public pools in New York. We have wonderful public pools in New York City. You know who was a great swimmer who built them all? Robert Moses. And he was responsible for a lot of what we've got here. But we need more. We always need more. And of course, there's the open water. There's the ocean. But it's not as controlled.
Well, it seems to me there are people who prefer pools and people who prefer the ocean. It all depends on whether you like waves or you like chlorine.
And if you like it warm or you like it a little chilled. Uh-huh. I like it heated, and therefore I tend to go into the open water when it gets warmer. But, you know, I swim with people who swim all year round. Have you ever talked to any of the Coney Island polar bears?
We have had them on the show.
They're wild. I went out there when they went in. They go in when it's 30-some degrees out there.
Annette Kellerman, who was a swimming champion and movie actress in the early 1900s, is reported to have compared swimming in a pool to hunting big game in a zoo. Do many ocean swimmers look down on pool swimming?
They do, because they feel that just sort of bouncing in between the walls is not real energy, real adventure. They think you have to be out crossing some wild open water. I'm an equal opportunity swimmer. I love pools and I love being in the wild water.
And you've said that you keep a bathing suit in your car just in case you come upon some open space of water.
You never know, Leonard. You just never know. You've got to have your suit and your goggles at all times.
Were you able to swim as much as you do now when you had a regular gig on ABC News?
A lot less. But you know what I did? I always had a suit with me when I traveled. And I knew when I was traveling so much for ABC, I knew where every swimming pool in every great hotel was in this country. And as you remember, I covered the space program for a long time. There were occasions when the shuttle was orbiting the Earth, I would be orbiting the pool. And that was my way of staying fit while I was doing my job.
Were you rooting for the shuttle to be in in Houston or in, well, it went to Florida, right? So
yeah, well,
you could go the ocean there as well.
Yes, exactly. And I did swim in the ocean. But I was actually thinking of a time when I was at the Space Center in Houston, and I would go into the pool, and we had little gadgets that told us when something was going on.
And going into a pool in Houston sometimes is self-defense, considering the fact that that town can get pretty hot, humid.
It's like living in a laundromat, as far as I'm concerned. They have the worst climate on the planet.
A lot of mosquitoes. Lynn Scherr, her latest book is called Swim, Why We Love the Water. It's published by Public Affairs. Last year, you undertook a really ambitious 4-mile-long ocean swim across the Dardanelles.
I did. I decided I needed a physical challenge for the purpose of the book, and I needed to do it for myself. So I signed up for this race, the Hellespont, now called the Dardanelles, of course, iconic historically. Trojan War was fought nearby over the Hellespont in part. That's where the myth of Hero and Leander, the Romeo and Juliet myth of Leander swimming across every night to see his love. And Lord Byron famously swam the Hellespont.
With a club foot.
In the water, he was like a merman. He was so elegant in the water, and on land, his club foot made him very clumsy. So he did it, and I wondered, could I do it? And I signed up for this big international race, and I trained for it. I joined U.S. Masters. I did drills. I worked out, and I did it.
If you don't mind me asking, how old were you at the time?
I was 69, and I thought this was a good time to do it. And not only did I win, but not only did I make it, but I won my age group. And there's a picture of me in the book wearing my medal. So I'm very proud of that.
Now, what's it like? This is not like swimming across the lake, is it?
No, it's definitely it's open water. It's the ocean water that just before it empties into the Aegean. So it's Mediterranean kind of water. It was the couple of days before we did it. There were 400 and some other people. The water was so rough. I was quite terrified. There were white caps. But the day of our swim, it was beautiful. It was royal blue, very calm, relatively calm. Water was about 70-some degrees. Mm. And, yes, there were some jellyfish, but they were benign. And it was just so much fun.
And did you start on the Asian side to go to Europe or vice versa?
We were staying in hotels on the Asian side. They ferried us across in a ferry boat. We started on the European side from a pebble beach. Gun went off. 400 and some of us took off. And here's the deal. The Hellespont is a very busy shipping channel, and they only stop the ships for 90 minutes.
You had to go fast. And you made it across.
Did
everybody?
Yes. Everybody this year made it. In years past, they've had people that didn't because the ocean water was much, much rougher. But as I said, Poseidon was smiling, and we had good water.
Can you build enough strength by training in pools?
Absolutely. And that's really the perfect combination, is you train in a pool because then you can really focus on your technique and on your times, and then you do it out in the open water.
But you also trained in Curaçao with a surprising partner, Oliver Sacks. How did that happen?
Oliver Sacks is a lifelong swimmer. He is another – he's, you know –
Did he recognize you each time? Because he has face blindness.
Right. Oliver and I were once swimming – we were not drilling that day. We were out in a cove snorkeling together. And I said to him afterwards, how did you know it was me with you? And he said, because I knew you had come out with me. He said, and I otherwise I would have had no idea. But Oliver loves swimming. And it was Oliver and me and one or two other people and a bunch of triathletes that I was training with. So that was great training.
One reason swimming is so popular is that it's easy on the joints.
No pounding.
Not like working on a treadmill.
And your knees don't pound like the way they do when you're a runner. And you know, the thing, Leonard, about swimming is it's for when also it's perfect for as the body ages, because in the water you are ageless and weightless, and there is no better way to exercise your body.
So what's next, the English Channel?
I like warm water. Channel is too rough and too far and too cold for me.
Well, Diane and I had to try to swim from Cuba to Key West, I think, and couldn't make it. And she is one of the world's strongest swimmers.
Extraordinary. And, of course, I've got that interview with her in the book. But you know what? She's going to try it again. She told me she's going to do it again. I think she's nuts, but more power to her. She was stung by two Portuguese man of war, and she could have died. Because that's really, really toxic. I was lucky the jellyfish I encountered did not sting.
Now, this book is also filled with lots of wonderful historical photographs and illustrations. Is that something that you would automatically do because you worked in television for so long, where words and pictures were almost equally important to telling a story?
Well, which came first? Did I get into television because I like the pictures, or did I learn from television? I think it's a combination. And yeah, you know, couple of Egyptian hieroglyphs about swimmers. Julius Caesar was a swimmer. Ben Franklin was a great swimmer. So I love digging up these facts, and where I can illustrate it, I try to do that.
You've described swimming as feeling as close to flying as you'll ever get. You're talking about skydiving?
I'm talking about being in space. Remember, I used to cover the space program, and I was dying to go up. No, but I'm one of the ones who made NASA start a journalist in space competition. I was convinced I was going to win. I was one of 40 semifinalists, but they disbanded the program after the Challenger explosion.
A listener, Antonio from Bayside, wrote in, "I don't think I can swim that well and would love to learn to get better. Where are the best places to go that aren't too expensive?"
Go to your local Y or rec center. There are Ys all over the city. There are wonderful instructors at all of them. Take a couple of lessons. I guarantee you'll feel better about yourself.
Now, giraffes were the focus of your book from 2005, Tall Blondes. They make a cameo appearance in this book, too. Are they among the animals that like to swim? Because there were cats hate water.
How did I get giraffes in a book about swimming? Well, it turns out there's a couple of computer analysts from scientists in the UK, and they did a model on the computer as to whether a giraffe – no one's ever seen a giraffe swim. And I contacted all the sources.
Well, they sure can keep their heads above the water.
They sure can keep their heads – and you, of course, want to know what the result is. And the result is, yes, they can swim, but not very well.
Uh-huh. But again, you know, my problem is my head comes so close to my shoulders. If I go under, it's serious. With a giraffe, they got a long way to go.
They do. But your body is better adapted to swimming, and you will float, Leonard. I promise you, 99% of all humans can float just fine in the water.
Swimmers say that they love the silence they encounter when they're swimming. And you mentioned that it's a place where you think.
I do. As I said, I write some of my best leads. I come up with wonderful solutions to things. I tried for a while using my iPod in an underwater housing with earphones, listening to music, listening to books while I swim, and I discovered I much prefer my own thoughts. That's an hour or more when I'm in the water and nobody can talk to me.
Do you swim with your eyes open or closed?
Open with goggles.
Uh-huh.
Definitely open, and definitely goggles.
Even when you're in a pool?
Yeah, always wear goggles.
Now, one of the big problems in some of the city pools is that it's hard to do laps when there are all of those people in the pool. You have to find pools where they just so they have
accommodate
certain
lap swimmers. Well, but there's something else that was new to me. When you can share a lap and you circle swim, which means you do a big circle around, and it works just fine. I've shared laps with 4 and 5 people, and you can get your work done perfectly well.
So you've done giraffes, now swimming. You have another project in the works?
Well, the real question should be, do I have any more passions? I only write books about my passions. I have many passions. I haven't decided what the next one is yet.
Well, the passion that Lynn Scherr is writing about in this book is swimming. It's called Swim, Why We Love the Water. It is published by Public Affairs. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Get back in the water.